chapter 1 again, and then turn to the conclusion in chapter 12. If you're looking at the bulletin, it says Proverbs 1. Brother Ray changed his mind this morning. I changed my mind this evening. So we'll turn to Ecclesiastes 1. And here's the context, really. Hopefully it brings back memories of all the chapters in between as we go from this to the conclusion at chapter 12, verse 9. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? One generation passes away, and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. The sun also rises, and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it arose. The wind goes toward the south and turns around to the north. The wind whirls about continually and comes again on its circuit. All the rivers run into the sea, and yet the sea is not full. To the place from which the rivers come, there they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, "See, this is new"? It has already been in ancient times before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of things that are to come by those who will come after. I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I set my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all that is done under heaven, this burdensome task God has given to the sons of man by which they may be exercised. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed all is vanity and grasping for the wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be numbered. I communed with my heart, saying, "Look, I have attained greatness and have gained more wisdom than all who were before me in Jerusalem. My heart has understood great wisdom and knowledge." And I set my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also is grasping for the wind. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. Then turning to the conclusion of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, we'll begin reading verse 9. Moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright, words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. And further, my son, be admonished by these. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. This evening, considered Ecclesiastes together, we've realized that in the big picture, there's two parts to this book. Both parts try to answer the question of the purpose of life from a whole variety of angles. In the first part of Ecclesiastes, the conclusion or the refrain was vanity. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. And no matter what topic the author, Pastor Solomon, was considering, his conclusion in the first part was that this too is vanity. And we realized that it was necessary to understand vanity properly. It doesn't mean to be improperly self-centered, but it was vanity like a breath. It was temporary, ephemeral, breath of breaths. It's impossible to hold on to. Everything is wind. I'd like you to think of all those vanities tonight as dots. Just a tiny dot. Everything is just impossible to hang on to. The second part of Ecclesiastes had a different refrain. It was the refrain of ignorance. Man doesn't know this. In spite of all the thinking, man cannot know. In the end, ultimately, man doesn't know why. Man doesn't know how some things occur and others don't. It's impossible from a human perspective to look at these big questions and to know the full answer. And again, this impossibility to know, it is like the wind. Right? You don't know where the wind is coming from and you don't know where the wind's going. And the thing with the wind is, you know that you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. No matter what issue or concept we think about, then we cannot know the full extent of it because we don't know the whole of where it came from or where it's going, how it's going to end up. And you put those two sections of Ecclesiastes together and it makes you wonder, just for a moment again, was the pessimistic interpretation right? Right? If you remember Sermon 1, we said it's not right. But if you put this section of it's all vanity and you can never know together, what's the conclusion? Is there a positive conclusion? Well, we come to that tonight. And the occasion to reflect on these two things, these two sections, and all the topics that we've considered as we work through the book. But the occasion leads us to this. There is a conclusion. There is a point to even these two sections and the refrains that came through. Now, as we approach this section of Ecclesiastes 12, we need to understand that some, in thinking about Ecclesiastes, have taken this conclusion and said, this is the only true paragraph in the whole book. But it loses its force if we don't understand that it's the conclusion, it's the end result of everything that's come previously. All the sections we've dealt with, all the topics, need to be seen as dots. Dots like are in the diagram at the bottom of your outline. The conclusion is the space in the middle. And some would say we just need that space that's in the middle. We don't need all the topics and all the dots around the space, the conclusion, this paragraph. But what would that space in the middle be without all the dots there? It wouldn't be there either. So let's look at this paragraph and see how Solomon is crafting this as the conclusion of the whole matter, everything that's been discussed. Verse 9. Because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright, words of truth. You see, those who say the Ecclesiastes is just a pessimistic diatribe even, are wrong. All those words were careful. They were chosen specifically. They were weighed. The thoughts were carefully pondered. They were put into words that were graphic, captured the imaginations of the people. And those words were acceptable. They were true. They were upright. They were well-intentioned. They were sincere. And they were righteous. You might say those words about all those topics we've considered were placed with care in a specific way, in a particular order. They're kind of like those dots in the diagram, placed with care in a specific way, with a particular order. And Solomon's, in a sense, defending himself against the accusation that all that thinking, all that reflection was just a waste of time. Because why think about something when your conclusion is just going to be it's vanity, it's temporary, you don't know? What's the practical use of studying something so in-depth that you realize you can't know it all? Why spend so many words on a disappointing conclusion? Well, because the preacher was wise, he still taught. Right? The reflections display, there are those with perspectives on reality that are maybe pessimistic. There's people who realize they don't know everything. There's people who understand boundaries. There's people who don't. But you can't throw it all out. Because the preacher is wise, he's still teaching them. There is practical benefit. And yes, there's spiritual benefit. I think Pastor Solomon here is displaying spiritual mindedness. I don't know if you read the most recent Messenger, but Dr. Cranadunc had an excellent article in the Messenger on titled Spiritual Mindedness. He was summarizing John Owen's book on the same topic, and it's based on the verse, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so often we get confused and think, well, the carnal life, the carnal mind is just about this world, and the spiritual mind thinks only of God or heaven. But Ecclesiastes has showed us that's not a true conclusion. The spiritual mind thinks about life. It thinks about life questions. But what's the difference then? I'll go back to the article or the book that it was summarizing. The spiritual mind thinks of life in spiritual directions. So we think about life, but as we think about life, our thoughts rise to God. And as our thoughts rise to God, we realize God has the beautiful answer. And this is the occasion then, the context for this conclusion to Ecclesiastes. All those dots there are for a spiritual purpose. They're there so that we would think of God and that we would understand God has the beautiful answer. And so Solomon summarizes it in one more proverb. The words of the wise are like goads, well-driven nails. What's a well-driven nail? It's hit hard. Or you might say it's hard-hitting. And it's not because of a wild swing. It's not because someone's having a tantrum or someone's not understanding what they're doing. No, a well-driven nail is hit hard on purpose. Skilled, even.
Right? The nail goes in straight, it sinks in deep, and it serves its purpose. And the words of the scholar then, the words of reflection, are like those well-driven nails. I hope we've been convicted through this series. It's a well-driven nail. Going into the right material and holding or serving its purpose, which is to hold these things together. Right? And what's the beauty of a nail in the conclusion of Proverbs? It's not a breath. It's not going to disappear. It's not something that you can not hold on to. It's something you can grasp. And you see, the words then that have been to this point are to be like well-driven nails. Strong, lasting, tangible. And yes, they might have a sharp point, but that's on purpose. But then take these nails as they've been given to you, given by one shepherd. Solomon, again, reminding us that the reflection on truth is by Jesus Christ, who is the truth. And then, my son, be admonished by these. See, these reflections are words of meaning, words of caution, words of warning even. But why should you be admonished by all these words? Be admonished by these. If you would look at the diagram in your outline, and I would say, let's look at one dot. Well, you'd miss the point, wouldn't you? That's not the point of the diagram, to look at just one dot. The point's to look at the dot in the big picture, the context. And then this is one of the nails. You have to see the big picture. Of course, of making many books, there's no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. What's the point of that? It's often, you know, quoted as a reason to not study, but that's not the point either, because Solomon's proven he's been a thinker. Here's the point, though. Each of the previous 11, 12 chapters, those topics can be overthought. Those topics can be overcomplicated. You can write many books about each one of those things that we covered, right? Pursuit, excellence, money, relationships, pleasure. You can write many books on all those things. And then much study about all those things is going to be weariness, because the two refrains of the two sections are always going to be true. It's temporary, and you're never going to know the whole thing. So that is wearisome. But don't miss the eternal truth despite all those temporary and unknown things. Don't miss the forest for the trees. And here's what I want you to take as the conclusion then, for the occasion of the conclusion. Don't think about all those dots without thinking of the big picture. All those dots, all those topics are there to lead us to the big picture. And what's that? Here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His. Why? Because God is going to know how you look at all those topics, and God is going to know how you've thought about all those trees rather than the forest. God's going to know all your secrets, and you're going to have to stand before Him regarding everything. And so all of this reflection, all of this trying to answer the question of what's the purpose of life, it comes down to this conclusion, this one thing: your response to God. And are you fearing God? Now, take that one thought, the fear of God, And let's look backwards through Ecclesiastes for just a minute. There is a remarkable comprehensiveness to this point that's being made. Just think of last time. Get medical attention because your body's breaking down. But fear God. Right? There's nothing wrong with taking vitamins and eye drops and getting dental work and hips replaced. But don't lose sight that your body is breaking down and you need the one who is one day going to redeem your body. So yes, realize your body's breaking down, but fear God. And then, let's take a step back. Enjoy life, right? Rejoice. Enjoy. Rejoice in your youth. Rejoice in your energy. Don't be afraid to do things. But don't lose sight of judgment. You need to remember your Creator in the days of your youth, because you need to remember why you're here, why you've been made. Fear God. Another step back. Stay humble. Maybe we can go and see how Ecclesiastes reflects on godless pride and fake greatness. But all of that pride just ends up in sorrow, and pretentious arrogance is just going to be exposed eventually. But fear God and stay humble. Another topic we considered was wisdom. What does wisdom matter if no one's going to know you knew? There's nothing wrong with asking questions. There's nothing wrong on reflecting. There's nothing wrong in reading. But on the other hand, don't think that a little knowledge makes you an expert. That's just foolishness. But remember Him who knows everything perfectly. And one of the points of advice then was, keep silent and fear God who knows. Another topic we considered was justice. Right? And Solomon was reflecting, there's things that aren't always fair. The fastest person doesn't always win the race. The strongest person doesn't always win the battle. The wisest person isn't always the wealthiest. But don't get bent out of shape, because time and chance does happen, and you don't know when the tables are going to turn. But who knows when the tables are going to turn? God. So fear God. And then value integrity. Right? We should value those who keep their word and those who are consistent and those who discern all things equally. But don't despair when someone is inconsistent and disappoints you. Why? Because all people have sought out schemes and inventions. It's God who made man upright. It's people. All people. Who go off on their own. Fear God. Look for good, but fear God. There's still so many unknowns. There's so many inventions waiting to be made. And yes, you can maybe be one of those who makes one of those things. But don't forget that pleasing God is more important than all that effort. Why should God be angry at your excuses and destroy the work of your hands? Fear God. And then we consider the topic of language. Remember Solomon's reflections on language? Do you mean what you say? Is it all talk? Do your vows matter? And his point was, don't stop talking. Don't shrink your vocabulary. But use your tongues for the purpose for which they've been created. Not to ask an unwise question, not to bully others, but to praise God, to fear God. And then let's think about money for a moment. There's people with a lot more than you. There's people with a lot less than you. But eat what you have. Rejoice in the gifts that you've been given. These are gifts and joys from God. Remember that it's God who's given them to you, and it's God who sees what you do with them. So yes, count your money. But fear God. And then be ambitious, but fear God. Right? Because ambition can be used to great kingdom benefit. And yet better is a handful with quietness than both hands full together with toil and grasping for the wind. You will not find God if you're trying to keep everything in your hands. So fear God. And then balance your time and fear God. There's a time for everything. And God's made all these things beautiful in their right moments. So as you go through moments of life, don't forget that. But then step back and see not just the dot, but see the big picture. God has put eternity in hearts so that you would think about Him. And He does all these things. He gives you all these moments and these experiences. Why? So that men might fear Him. And then find your purpose. Right? There's so much pursuit of so many things. And so many of us collect this or that. But all of us are going to enter into eternity with the same amount of goods. Zero. Doesn't mean just sit and whittle away your life. But realize there's more to life than chasing the wind. Fear God. And then go all the way back to sermon number one. What is your dash about? What is your dash going to be about? Remember, at the end of life, there's going to be a gravestone. There's going to be your name. There's going to be two numbers. And there's going to be a dash in between those two numbers. What's your dash going to be about? Fear God. A godless dash is full of despair and cynicism. A godless pursuit is going to end up with nothing. And you don't know when your second number or what your second number is going to be. So fear God now, because He's given you the first number and He's given you the space in between. Remember, this is all about living in the middle. Every day after your birthday is a day to serve God. And then let's think about the whole. In light of this dash, what's our dash going to be about? Selfish purpose, selfish time, selfish ambition, selfish spending, or fearing God? Is our dash going to be full of salty language and ungodly pursuit and rejoicing in sin and thoughtless pleasure, buying into all kinds of fads? Gradually, as we get old and start to break down, turning into a grumpy, pessimistic senior? Or are you going to fear God? Is your dash, no matter how short or long it's going to be so full of the fear of God that by the time you're at the end of your dash and your final number is about to be engraved, that you will know your life's purpose and you've served it. And that dash actually means something. This person has spent those years, yes, with ups and downs, and yes, with more and less, and yes, with trials and blessings. But through it all, it could be summarized in this. from this date to this date, they have feared God. You see, you can take each one of these dots on this diagram and think just about the dot, and you'll miss the point. You can take each one of these dots as one of these 13 topics and draw a line into the middle, the conclusion. And it kind of does that, because our thinking about money should teach us to fear God, and our thinking about pursuing wisdom should teach us to fear God. But so often we look at those dots or that line and we say, yes, we understand the conclusion. But if only that person would have been more responsible, then they wouldn't have had to deal with that. But you see, Ecclesiastes says that's not true, because the temporariness applies to everybody. The lack of boundaries of knowledge applies to everybody. The fear of God does not eliminate trouble. The fear of God does not fill all emptiness. It doesn't absorb all depression or frustration. The reflections of wisdom don't take all unhappiness and trial out of the world. The world, until it's renewed by God Himself, is always going to be full of sin. But as you're living through this world of sin, and as you're living through all the confusion about it, what keeps you going? Fear God and keep His commandments. This is your all. We don't use all in this way anymore, but think of it this way. This is your purpose. Why are you here? Why are you given a dash for this purpose? Fear God. And you can go through all those topics all again and recognize the frustration in each of them. It doesn't take the conclusion away. You still have to fear God. You sweat at work? Fear God. You get discouraged by relationships? Fear God. You run out of money? Fear God. You get frustrated by the difficulties of life? Fear God. You think you're going to come up with the next solution to the greatest problem? Fear God. You're tempted by the abuse or the addiction of a new pleasure? Fear God. This is the way to experience a purpose-filled life. And this leads us then to the tip of the point. The point of all of Ecclesiastes is fearing God. And so often we even look at the diagram that's there and we can understand the center of it to be fearing God. But you see, I don't want you just to think of all this swirling around and still being a confusing mess and the middle just being fear God. Remember, Ecclesiastes was like a spiral. It started with the big questions, and it was narrowing in and narrowing in. So you need to think of the spiral as this. It's not lines going into the middle, but it's spiraling from the widest dots and going slowly around and around over the same topics and the same reflections over and over again. But all of these things are connected. And it's not just that, oh, it's a spiral and this is the conclusion. No, if you were honestly thinking about these things, it's just getting tighter and tighter and tighter, and there's no other conclusion than this. Fear God and keep His commandments. It's inescapable. And this is the tip of wisdom then. This is the central point. This is why Ecclesiastes is wisdom literature. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And you can think about all those topics again, but you will not understand them if you don't think of them in light of God. Without spiritual mindedness, without thinking of God and realizing that God has the beautiful answer, you will flounder. You will just think of it all as confusion. But you see, God has a beautiful purpose and a beautiful conclusion. Augustine said it best in his Confessions. He's praying, and he says this: "You stir man to take pleasure in praising you, because you've made us for yourself, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. Grant me, Lord, to know and understand. What am I to you that you tell me to love you? And that if I fail to love you, you are angry with me. In your mercies, Lord God, tell me what you are to me." Fear God. Keep his commandments. And you see, that God-directed heart with such a God-directed prayer is how we are to live spiritually mindedly. Right? As you live in the middle, as you live your dash, as you live in the tensions of this life, as you live surrounded by so much unknown temporariness, this is the kernel. Fear God. This fear isn't a paralyzing fear. It's a healthy respect that leads to a healthy response to who God has said he is. But think about that for a moment. How do we respond in a healthy way to God when all of life around us is temporary and unknown? What matters then? What's a healthy response? I want to leave you with two things. In the middle of everything that's temporary and unknown, fear God by honoring his Son and being ready to meet him. Right? Jesus has come that you might have life. Jesus was the wisest son who properly respected and obeyed God every moment of his life here. He worked properly. He lived with purpose. He spoke only truth. He did all that the Father asked him to do. He loved those around him. And he has come that those who believe in him might have life, overflowing life. And God gives all these blessings, and Jesus doesn't come to take them away. Jesus comes that you might have reconciliation to the Father and know that these blessings are from him, so that you can go back to him and properly say thank you. And you see, honoring Jesus Christ then gives purpose and clarity to all of life. Even if you're thinking about getting the next degree and struggling with ambition, or starting a business and struggling with time, honoring Jesus Christ gives you purpose and clarity to life. And then it comes right back down to a basic question, doesn't it? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Can you say with Simeon, "Lord, my eyes have seen your salvation"? But secondly, in the middle of all that's temporary and unknown, fear God by keeping his commandments. Both should be obvious to us. But fear God and keep his commandments in this way. This is what he has said is beautiful and good and lasting. These aren't temporary. There's lots of things you don't know, but you can know these commandments. And we know them as the Ten Commandments. We read them as the summary of the law. Love God and your neighbor. And some of us still have to realize they're God's commandments. And they're good and they're beautiful. And if we are to have a life filled with purpose and all the vanity and temporariness is taken away, and we can be solidly clear on at least a few things, fear God and keep his commandments. You can also think of them in other ways. The Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the peacemakers. Fear God and keep his commandments. And it doesn't matter if you're poor or humbled or not as ambitious or not as gifted or not as privileged. Doesn't matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. See, don't stare at the individual dots. Stand back. Look at the whole picture. And see how your life, in your life, all these things are connected. Your blessings and your trials, your unsuccessful grasping and your loose holding are all, yes, wrapped up together so that you, if you're thinking properly, if the Spirit opened your eyes so that you see it, points you to this conclusion. Submit to him, God. Respect God. Depend on God. Worship God. Trust God. Love God. Your life here does not need to be a useless breath, a frustrating experiment, a short, wasted dash. Your life can be full and beautiful with meaning. When you fear God and keep his commandments. Because he is the solution to both of those things. So much of life is temporary vanity. God's eternal. So much of life we have no idea about. God's all-knowing. Fear God and keep his commandments. Let's pray.